I'm Ahead of the Curve, and in this review, I will be talking about Emile Cioran's 1949 work, A Short History of Decay. So I can't believe that I haven't heard this author's name more than I have. It feels to me that he's very underrated, and I know that many people like him, and I know that this book has got a lot of popularity behind it, but he was writing, I mean, maybe this is just spoilers already, I love this book. It's very hard to get through, but I absolutely loved it. And for anyone unfamiliar, this is a book centered on aphoristic, nihilistic essays, talking about God or death, the concept of the afterlife, philosophy in general, just very pessimistic philosophy. And that's why it reminded me of Schopenhauer, and most especially, it reminded me of Nietzsche. And many of you guys will know that Nietzsche is my favourite philosopher, more or less. He really took the topics that he wrote about very seriously. And yeah, he's just brilliant. I really enjoy his normal aphoristic style, much like Cioran in this piece. And I like how he flowered up his words. And for anyone who finds flowery words to be tedious, you might not like this book, because this book is very lyrical. It's very fantastical, but at the same time, written in a very realistic tone, a very gritty tone. And it just hit all the right spots for me. I found that the first chapter, the first section, let's say, Directions for Decomposition, brilliant title. I felt that this collection of aphorisms and essays was the best part of the book. I think that after that, they get a little more nuanced, and I didn't like that as much as the first half, but it doesn't mean that it was bad. I was just not really underlining as much, or I wasn't really as engaged as I was before when I was reading through the first half. But yeah, I think that he is probably the best runner-up to Nietzsche that I've ever read. A lot like Schopenhauer as well, in the way that he talks about, you know, he doesn't directly reference the will as such from memory, but he does sort of allude to what it means to live, what it means to die, the process of life, and false hope, and the self, how that is just an illusion, more or less. He also goes into the false constellations of God and divinity, criticizing divinity quite a bit, which again, his style is just so flowery and so passionately I think the description from the Times literary supplement of passionate forensic lyrical, I think that is a brilliant description of this relatively short piece, because it's the sort of thing that I just really love reading. I really love to the point, concise, even though you could argue flowery writing isn't concise, but I would say in a weird way it can be. Nietzsche could be said to be beating around the bush at times, or at the very least not getting to the point. But at the same time, I feel like every sentence, more or less, The Joyous Science or Beyond Good and Evil, I think that he was really saying something in every sentence. And I feel that, with the exception of sometimes, I think that he was being a bit too flowery, a bit amiss to the point, I still feel that Cioran brilliantly wrote his ideas down, and it felt like he was really speaking a truth of some sorts. And philosophically, it's a goldmine. It also feels very rereadable in the same regard, because of, the format of the writing is aphoristic, so it would be a paragraph sometimes, or two, or even a few pages of, and it would sort of contain this one point. And I kind of miss that in modern writers. I think that, You know, if I was to write something philosophical, perhaps it would be aphoristic, because I find that it's much more, well, it's easier to be concise if you're writing in that regard. And I feel that it's also more engaging as well. Like, you know, after reading some deep aphorism on death, you can sort of, you know, put the book down and chill out and maybe drink another bit of rum or something, and then you can go to the next one. Whereas a lot of modern writers, existential sort of writers, it feels, not that there are many that I've read necessarily, but I mean that modern writers don't necessarily focus on aphoristic writing, whereas Nietzsche, you know, Schopenhauer, Saran do or did. And I personally really gravitate towards that style, especially in philosophy, of course, because as I said, it's a very complex topic in general, or at least by definition it is. I personally didn't feel like I learnt something, you know, in the general sense. I don't think I learnt something from this piece as a whole. It's more just, he told me what I already knew, but it was in a way that was really accessible and put in just such a poetic way. So quotable. I have a list of quotes, a large list of quotes, and I've shared a few of them on my Instagram stories and in a couple posts before of his work. But yeah, he's totally up there for me. You know, this book is just brilliant. Anyone who likes philosophy, you know, gritty, nihilistic writing, existential writing, this is quite literally the book for you. And as I said, all things considered, it's quite easy to read. Well, I say that, but it's really not. But yeah, I mean, it's just full of brilliant quotes. And yeah, I mean, I didn't necessarily learn anything, like any new, I don't know, idea necessarily, but it's how he writes it which is just so brilliant. And yeah, I mean there's that quote which, you know, the best books tell you what you already know. And I think in many ways that's true, because, you know, we can't avoid that confirmation bias of enjoying a piece or a film that we know you will enjoy, and we just put it on to relax. And whilst this isn't necessarily a relaxing experience, because it is very heavy and you have to sort of, I mean, I had to take breaks at points, because I was like, I'm being exposed here. My existence is being exposed here, and I need to just chill. And, you know, that's what he does in this book. And that's very much what Nietzsche did as well, or does, whatever combination. But yeah, if you like Beyond Good and Evil, and you just, I don't know, like that style of polemic, philosophical, nihilistic, even political at times, and not in the sense that he's talking about history, but more psychologically political, like, what is the self? Does it exist? You know, does God exist? He does tackle a lot of questions and a lot of inquiries that we believe we've already got the answer to, or at least we think that we have a good justification for acting in a certain way, or justifying actions in a certain way. And then he comes along in this book and completely demystifies any spirituality that could be potentially, you know, out there. And as I said, it's very rigorous, and he doesn't pull any punches, but, you know, that's what you're walking into when you read someone like him. So yeah, I mean, there's no fault really with this book. I mean, it's just written beautifully, to be honest. As I said, I have many quotes that I enjoyed noting down and reading and thinking about, but one that I'll share is, we can act only against the truth. Man starts over again every day, in spite of everything he knows, against everything he knows. He has extended this ambiguity to the point of vice. Perspicuity is in mourning, but, strange contagion, this very mourning is active, Thus we are led into a funeral procession to the last judgment. Thus, out of the ultimate rest itself, out of history's final silence, we have made an activity, the staging of the agony, the need for Dinatism, even in the death rattles. So to me, that explains the behaviour of everyday life, how, you know, there are funeral possessions at times, and there's also celebrations, and really, you know, it's like a birthday. Every birthday you're sort of celebrating, a step closer to the grave. So the good thing about, well, also a good thing but also a bad thing about this style of writing is that you can really interpret it how you like, because it's so poetic. You can read it and think one thing like 5 years earlier, and then reread it later in your life, and you're like, oh well, you know, I think kind of differently about that. So to me, that's an advantage, because I find that sort of thought experiment to be quite interesting. But I know other people might find that a bit tedious, not really knowing exactly what he meant. But this kind of writing, this kind of, you know, existential polemic, the purpose of this sort of style isn't to have any definitive answer. It's more to share an interesting existential argument or perspective. Another good quote is, "We define only out of despair. We must have a formula. We must even have many, if only to give justification to the mind and a facade to the void." And what this tells me is that we're constantly obsessed with disguising what it is to be mortal by, you know, distractions such as films or even books, for that matter. I mean, it's ironic in that regard, because Saran is writing this book about all these subjects, but really it's just for him as well as us, distraction from the void. I mean, everything could be disclosed as that. And I do think that that's true, and you can't avoid that. I mean, you can try and, you know, argue out of it and say, well, you know, I'm accepting of mortality. I mean, maybe you are, more than someone else, perhaps you are. But there is that inevitable truism of every action being contrary to life, because by acting you have to live. So it's contradictory in nature, essentially. In conclusion, yeah, this book will either destroy you, or it will at least give you some food for thought. It's such a brilliant piece, as far as I'm concerned. It's just right up my alley. Aphorisms, concise, but also flowery and stylish writing. Truisms being spurted everywhere, and you can't stop yourself from having an existential crisis halfway through, let alone at the end of reading the book. Yeah, so I highly recommend this, and you guys should read this. It's awesome. It is great. So thank you for watching. I've been Ahead of the Curve. Check the description for all my social media, my Patreon, and be sure to check out the podcast if you haven't already. Thank you ever so much for watching, and I'll see you in the next video. Au revoir.